Good morning. Good morning. Beautiful day here. Welcome to the final hour, anyway, for today of the program. And we're joined in studio by Ward 1 City Councilor Leo Choquette. Good morning, Leo. How are you, my friend?
Good morning, Chris. And good morning, everybody out there. Just thought I'd stop in and, you know, I haven't been on in a while and wanted to discuss some issues on the council that we're facing. And, you know, I mean, the word on the street here, obviously, is that I made a change in party affiliation. And I just wanted to let everybody know, you know, that I did do that. And the reason, one of the main reasons is
He's a Republican now. He left the Democrat Party.
Yes, I left the Democratic Party after 13 years of putting a lot of time and effort into things. And I think that my personality conflicts with, and again, we're not going to name names of anybody that I on here, but my personality conflicts.
Well, you're not going to name names. I may name names.
I prefer you don't, but I mean, you do your show how you want it, Chris, right?
Always do, Leo.
Yep. But my personality conflicts with some people in the party, they weren't getting any better. They're getting worse. My gut told me that, you know, after some of the people in my own party ran a candidate against me. I mean, that's not what being, you know, a brother and sisterhood of a political party are about. So, you know, they say one thing and then do the other. You know,
Typical Democrats.
It wasn't a long time ago when you know, I was with Chris, you know, criticized me. But it's okay, Chris. I mean, you know, you pointed out that I went down to the fish docks with a megaphone.
Right.
Because at the end of the day, I'm still a social liberal, okay? I'm a fiscal conservative, though, and that's one of the main things that drove me over there. But, you know, when I see injustice going on, I'm gonna do what I believe in. And you know, and they weren't complaining when I was down there then. I was, a great person to go down there and defend folks. But now that I have issues with how they want to run things, now I'm the bad guy. So it was
time
to leave.
What are your issues with the Democrat Party today, Leo?
My issue.
What are they doing wrong?
What are they doing wrong? Well, I mean, they are not connecting with the average American voter. And I remember sitting in a meeting where we all, and it wasn't long ago, where we all were brainstorming, you know, how could Donald Trump get such a great return in the communities in New Bedford? And I actually stated that, well, it's because we're not connecting with the average person.
Right.
You know, and I'm not saying Donald Trump does that either, but what I am saying is that
he got a good vote in Ward 1, though.
Yeah, well, he did. But people feel as though the Republicans listen to them better. And, you know,
they do, obviously.
They do. Now, where I exist politically, I've always been a conservative Democrat. So now I will probably be, well, I will be probably one of Massachusetts' most liberal Republicans, and that's okay. Listen, Charlie Baker is somebody that I've
he's
really watched.
He's your hero, basically.
Well, he's obviously Jack Kennedy, but Charlie Baker, from a Republican standpoint, is the kind of person that I look at and I say, here's a guy that worked with Democrats just as well as Republicans and independents, and, you know, he was his own man, he was his own person. He followed fiscal conservatism, was a social liberal, and it's okay to be both of those things. You know, it's okay. If Charlie Baker's willing to accept those two things, then why couldn't the people in my party accept me as being social liberal and fiscal conservative?
Right.
Every
right.
time I've had fiscally conservative ideas, you know, a lot of the people will say, well, it's like, you know, that's elitism, or, you know, why lower taxes? We have programs to fund. And there's always been a dichotomy with me. I've always swallowed it and just said, well, you know, this is who I am. But look, I didn't have much of more of a future right now over there in the local Democratic Party.
Or the National Democratic Party,
well,
let's face it.
And I don't have any anger or spite really towards these people. I wish them well, but that's not who I am. And I'm moving on to this side. And, you know, I hope that most people realize that that doesn't change what I'm going to do as a city councilor. I'm still fighting for economic development. I'm still going to be fighting, you know, for what's right, personal rights for my constituents, you know, fighting parallel products and all these things and still doing the meetings every month. And none of that changes who I am. So for the folks out there that may think that I, you know, did something terrible, I mean, listen, I guess it just means
you're getting
2 years.
Some vicious backlash.
I can tell that it bothers you. It does. I mean, I'm sure people who know me can tell that I'm kind of muted today. I'm not my normal happy-go-lucky self.
He didn't even bring in donuts.
And I didn't even.
He forgot to bring donuts. Or did you give them to somebody else on the city council to try to make them get to forgive you, Leo? There's some people on that council that could absolutely love those donuts. Yeah. You know that, Leo.
I know.
Where are my donuts, Leo?
Yeah. Well, I'll have to bring you double next time.
Thank you, sir. So one of the big things in the Boston Herald, by the way, the Boston Herald article I thought was fantastic about you.
Yeah, I mean, and again, I don't mean to sound smarmy, but I never thought I would ever have such a good article about positive things about myself in the Boston Herald.
Yes.
So it was kind of interesting to see that.
Well, you're hanging around the right people now.
Yeah. Well,
you were always hanging around with us. You just weren't a member of the party. That, I think, in part was some of the undercurrent around with the communist left that you used to hang around with about you, because that you were kind of a closet Republican.
Well, I mean, I am who I am. This is who I am, and
I am as God made me. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, yeah. I'm a social liberal and a fiscal conservative. I always have been. Maybe my career. Maybe I was meant to be the first person to try to make the jump. And of course, I'm going to be the one that's going to get most of the heat. But maybe it starts a chain reaction, and other people say, "Look, I'm a moderate too." Or it's okay, I'm a centrist, or I'm a social liberal, but I believe in limited government, and it's okay to, you know, to do that. I don't know. This is all my gut feeling. I'm in uncharted territory.
Right.
This doesn't happen.
You didn't plan any of this.
I didn't really plan any of this.
It just happened.
I mean, it's not like someone can say, well, he ran as a Democrat, got elected, and then a month and a half later changed his ways. No, I've been a Democrat since, you know, 2011, which is not really a super long time, but, you know, we used to go up to the state conventions, okay? And perfect example, the primaries, we actually had multiple candidates as Democrats to choose from in the primaries.
Right.
We had a liberal, we had...
You're not voting in those primaries anymore. You can't vote in the Democrat primary anymore, Leo.
No, I know. But then we would have a conservative Democrat to choose from for governor. Now, I mean, I see all around me, the standard bearer is now Governor Healey, and
right,
they're going with her, and I thought that maybe we should have had some choices for moderates like me.
How do you feel about moderates. Governor Healey?
Listen, I think she's a nice lady, but I don't think her job is being done, and I've told you that before. I think that as an economic development, I mean, look at the numbers in the state.
Talk about it.
Governor Baker, when he was the governor... The last Republican governor. The Commonwealth of Massachusetts ranked in the top 10 in multiple sectors. Job growth, job creation, net spending.
Popular governor.
And he was one of the most popular governors. But the point is that people were coming into Massachusetts to do business.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And I've kind of watched over the years... since, and I had high hopes for Governor Healey. Hell, you voted for it, too.
I did, too.
Okay, so, and again, nice lady, nice personality, but I think that she was better suited as the Attorney General, and she did a good job, in my opinion, as the Attorney General, but as governor, look up the metrics over the last few years. This year alone, the Commonwealth of Massachusetts is 49th in job growth and job creation, and you're talking about states, and no disrespect to the Deep South, but like in the article, like I said, Louisiana and Mississippi are doing better economically in job growth than Massachusetts. And last time I checked, there was no Harvard in Mississippi. There was no MIT in Mississippi. There's no Route 128 technology highway.
Right.
You know, one of the reasons why we have all the damn traffic on 128 is because we have these great companies there that attract.
Yep.
So it's kind of like a balance. You know, you say, I hate the traffic going to work, but on the other hand, I know that there's a lot of good things happening in the infrastructure, and that's all coming apart.
Under Governor Healey.
Yeah, under Governor Healey.
And the supermajority Democrats in the legislature.
Competition breeds success. We need more. when you have a one-party state,
yes,
it's, you know, you don't end up getting the best and brightest out of everybody because they're right. in competition to try to outdo one another. And I think maybe that's what's happened over the years is the Republican Party had, you know, regressed. Let me use.
I think that's a good word. Yeah.
Over the time, and but now, I mean, I feel like locally, and that's again, my change is based on local politics, not yep. federal politics. Local politics. I think that you're going to see several people on that city council come forward. I'm not going to say who or when or if, but I feel like there's an air of economic development that is going to start to happen in this city, and the GOP is going to be part of it.
Always have been. In fact, it's the under Governor Healey that things have gotten so bad. What about the energy, the price of energy, Leo? That's all the Democrats.
Yeah, so here's something that's really... I'm glad you brought that up because I really wanted to talk about that. Mayor Lane comes on here a lot and talks about fusion power.
Mm-hmm.
And I love Mayor Lane, respect him immensely, and his breadth of knowledge on topics is profound. And he's spot on when he talks about nuclear fusion as being, you know, where we're going.
We have to go there.
Yes. So, you know, there was the wheel, there was the light bulb, there was the plane. Those are like pivotal events in human history. Technologically, nuclear fusion, a viable working nuclear fusion reactor is going to be that next step. One of the last things left that we have to do. And we won't need windmills. Now, we'll always have solar battery backup, like there's always going to be solar power. But we won't need windmills spinning and squirting oil into the ocean.
Right.
The irony about windmills is that, yeah, it's green energy, but you're still using oil.
Right.
Anyway.
You like oil, though, Leo.
Well,
you're a Republican now. You like fossil fuels.
I like it. I like fossil fuels as far as it's the only game in town right now. Nuclear fusion,
yes.
I like a whole hell of a lot more because
yes.
it won't pollute the world. But let me get back to the importance
sure, go ahead.
Of all this. There's a company in Devens, Massachusetts.
They were.
Well, they still are there,
okay.
but they've shifted. It's called Commonwealth Fusion Systems. And for my friends on the left who are mad at me, if you don't, you know, take in anything else, take in this. Commonwealth Fusion Systems is going to be the General Electric of the 21st and 22nd century. They are the company that most likely will build the world's first nuclear fusion reactor. Now, Mike Keneally, who's running for governor,
yes.
was part of the economic development team for Charlie Baker and helped that company get startup money. Okay, it's almost like J.P. Morgan giving Thomas Edison the money that he needed to build the light bulb.
Right.
Okay. People can choose where they want to do business in this nation. And most folks would assume, well, the world's first nuclear fusion reactor should be built in Massachusetts, right?
Of course.
Well, the problems with the energy providers in this state have gotten so out of control that when Commonwealth Fusion Systems started to put the contracts in to develop their prototype nuclear fusion reactor, which will take about 10 years to construct, they decided not to deal with Eversource in Massachusetts and the high cost of energy, and they have moved it to Chesterfield, Virginia, to deal with a company called Dominion Energy in Virginia. They got a better deal. So somebody in Menlo Park, New Jersey, where Thomas Edison from, didn't have the tools that Thomas Edison needed to create the light bulb, so he got a deal from another state and just left. That's the analogy here. Imagine the Wizard of Menlo Park leaving Menlo Park before he invents the light bulb. And that's really what's going to happen here. We the Commonwealth of Massachusetts.
And this
is
happened on Governor Healey's watch.
Under Governor Healey's watch. So.
And that's part of the reason you fled the Democrat Party.
Yes, that, you know, the local problems I'm having, but also this stuff at the state level where I feel that they just don't get it. They're not seeing the forest. They're only looking at trees.
This holiday season, Shooting Supply in Westport has the deals you need. Listen to this. Save $90 on the Smith & Wesson 9mm Shield EZ. It's now just $399. The new Sig Sauer P365 X Macro. It is in stock at Shooting Supply. Come see the latest in America's most popular handgun line. On a budget, the Taurus G3C with lifetime warranty, just $219 after the rebate. Who needs ammunition? You need ammunition. 500 rounds of Winchester service grade 9mm, only $119. Gift cards are available for the hard to buy sportsman in your life. You do not need a gun license to buy a gift card at Shooting Supply. Find all the best holiday deals at Shooting Supply. Walk right in 548 State Road in Westport. Check them out online at shootingsupply.com. We'll be right back. Stick around. More with Leo Choquette, a brand new Republican, still the Ward 1 city councilor.
This portion of programming on WBSM is brought to you by D's Hot Dogs in New Bedford, where you can get two hot dogs, soda, and a bag of chips for only $5.
South Coast Now with Chris McCarthy, weekdays on 1420 AM and 99.5 FM. WBSM. You can go your
You know what? You can go your own way if you have a running automobile. That's why you got to make sure you bring your automobile to Mac Auto Sales. It's a family-owned business right in the city of New Bedford, located on Rivet Street. Mac Auto Sales repairs all makes and models of automobile, just like the one you're driving. So if you need to get your car ready for the coming winter weather, and I'm sure you do, call and make an appointment today at Mac Auto Sales and Repair, 508-565-6221. They're open weekdays 9 to 5 for your convenience. You tell me you have a foreign car, I say that's great news. Mac Auto Sales specializes in servicing foreign-made automobiles. Mention WBSM, they'll give you a significant break on the bill. Ask about their aftermarket accessories and their quality used cars for sale. We have Ward 1 City Councilor, Republican Leo Choquette here in the studio. Leo, big movement on parking in the ordinance committee the other night. Talk about that.
Yeah, so this is an issue that's very near and dear to me, obviously, because Ward 1, just like the lower end of Ward 6, is probably the place where a lot of new developments will end up going. And, you know, I would be remiss to say if we didn't, you know, that we didn't need more housing, because we absolutely do need more housing. Now, if I were an at-large city councilor, obviously my opinion on this is going to be a little more muted, as far as I have to represent the whole city, every person, right? I try to, as the Ward 1 city councilor, I try to put what the Ward 1 residents want as my, you know, at the front forefront of what I do. And protecting the character of the neighborhoods in Ward 1 is important to me. So the way the development works now, most multi-unit apartment buildings, all of them, require 2.0 cars per unit, or 2.0 parking spots per unit, which allows folks to, you know, like say you and I had a crash pad we hung around at, and we owned, and we roomed together or something, we both would have cars. And, you know, I understand the mayor.
Well, not me, because I'm a cripple now, yeah. But go ahead, Leo.
Okay. Well, if you were 10 years ago, right?
Yes.
Let's just use that. So, obviously, I understand why the mayor wants to lower the amount, because if he makes it 1.0, it allows developers to be able to build more units and have to provide less pavement on the property for parking, okay? And also, it would make it easier for them to get through zoning if they wanted to get around it. Well, The problem here is that, okay, that makes sense from that standpoint, but are you or I going to all of a sudden stop using our car because we now only have 1.0 spots in our unit to park in? No. So you're going to park out on the street, which if it's one or two people.
No, you're going to park out on the street. I get the driveway.
So Chris gets the driveway. I park out on the street. But yes. Either way, for the
and you use the fire escape, too, to come in and out.
That's it. I just jump out the window and land in the snowbank. But, you know, when you start jamming up the side streets with cars, overflow parking, it presents not only an unsightly appearance, right? And now every day looks like move-in day at college, but it also has the ability to jam up passage of traffic. You got both sides of the road jammed up with cars, overflow parking. It's going to gum up the works, right? And what about the emergency vehicles that may have to get through there too? So these are things to consider. And again, I'm not against developing the city. For God's sakes, I'm over here screaming about economic development all the time. But we have to do it in a way that doesn't, you know, derogate from the character of the neighborhood. And that's something that I said in the council meeting, that on the zoning board, when you're trying to decide whether something is applicable, is it a good, you know, should we grant a special permit or variance, et cetera? We have to always ask ourselves that fundamental question. Does doing this cause us to derogate from the character of the neighborhood? Well, jamming, 50 new cars on, and I'll use Maryland and Ohio and Jerry as perfect example, the New York China buffet, right? My opinion, we should have, you know, 6 to 8 townhouses built there. But, sir, you know, I understand developers are going to want to put 20, 25, 30 units there. Well, by lowering the amount of parking that is required on that property, that allows them to put more units. But what it doesn't address is, where do those cars go?
Where do they go?
Well, so Mr. Lanigan, who I'm usually about 95% in agreement with on economic issues, he brought up a good point, and he said, we'll let the free market dictate what happens. And, you know, whether it's the folks that own the liquor store across the street or another parcel across the street, they can charge for parking, you know, in a reasonable, non-price gouging way, you know, to make money, to keep people parked over there and not on the street. So what I'm going to be looking to do is, and again, I'm against the ratio dropping down to 1.0, but I know it's going to happen. I'm asking any of these neighborhoods that feel as though that a development coming in would change the quality of their neighborhood and life from the traffic, that they apply for resident-only per parking stickers. Okay.
How do they do that?
Well, you have to get the paperwork from the traffic department, and then they have to go around and get 60% of the residents in that area to sign it. And I promise you that they won't have a problem getting 60%.
Okay.
Okay.
So you're going to spearhead this project to gather the signatures?
Yeah, I don't see why not. I think it's part of my job to maintain the character of the neighborhood, but I also don't want to necessarily stand in the way of economic progress. I mean, people do need places to live.
Of course.
And we need to grow the tax base in this city. These are immutable facts. But we can't just throw the baby out with the bathwater and literally terraform Ward 1 into, you know, a glass and cinder block and brick, you know, megalopolis, where it's just, you know, no green, no parking anywhere, and it's just all buildings. Like, we can't have that happen. Part of the draw to Ward 1 is that it's single-family homes.
Right.
And I'm pretty sure that 99.9999% of the people in my ward who live in that situation recognize it the way I do. Like, they understand that their taxes, you know, are out of control, and economic development and building new structures for homes is and multifamilies is going to help that. But we have to be very careful that we don't allow the neighborhood to be transformed literally into a giant parking garage on the streets.
We have Leo Choquette, Ward 1 City Council, Republican, member of the City Council. Leo, of course, is approaching this as a scientist because he comes from a science background. I don't think a lot of people realize that about you, Leo. What'd you get your undergraduate in?
I went to University of Vermont.
Yeah.
And I got my undergraduate in biological sciences. I had actually wanted to be a doctor. I did the pre-med thing and organic chemistry and all physics, etc. And then I decided, you know, well, maybe I should try going to graduate school and getting a little more experience before I apply to med school. So I got a great deal from the University of Montana.
Yeah.
So I moved to Montana. I lived in Missoula, Montana for about 3 years. I was there when 9/11 happened. And like my parents were very, the only thing they felt good about was the fact that, you know, they didn't know what was going to happen next.
Right.
They said to me,
nobody did, yeah.
My dad was like, listen, no matter what happens to us, we know nobody's blowing up Montana. So you're safe and
right.
The family line will go on.
Single-handedly saving Montana. Leo Choquette. Did you learn to ride horses out there?
Not really.
No.
But I did help some farmers and ranchers with removing prairie dog infestation.
How'd you do that?
They gave us a case of beer and some .30-06 rifles.
And you shot prairie dogs.
We shot some prairie dogs, yeah.
That's fantastic.
You can't shoot .30-06 rifles outside here, though, obviously, in Massachusetts.
No, the bullet goes for quite a while.
Yeah.
You hit a prairie dog with a .30-06? That must have made a real mess of the prairie dog.
Yeah, well, they didn't complain. and it's not something I'm really proud of as far as...
Come on, why not? But you should be proud of that.
But it was a different time of my life. And
he's wearing a shawl right now made of prairie dogs. He's got a prairie dog shawl on right now, Leo Choquette. Thing's missing a head, though. What'd you get your master's degree?
I'm sorry, microbiology. So, when you go to grad school, you either do a master's thesis or a doctoral dissertation. So, like, in the science, it's kind of cool because the professors, you know, make money off you in two ways. Number one, you teach their laboratory sessions for them.
Sure.
They do the lectures, the big 200-person lectures. But, you know, they have a couple of grad students that are TAs. They teach the lab sections, 10, 15 students each. So you get paid for that. And then they also have you do some ancillary work at the lab bench with them, right? So if that professor's, you know, applying for a grant from the National Institute of Health on a certain organism. They're the one doing the main work, but there are little side jobs they need done, and they can turn that into a small master's thesis project or a quite a bit larger doctoral dissertation, mm-hmm. a PhD. And I ended up doing a master's thesis on a microorganism called Bartonella bacilliformis and the bacteriophage-like particle that it utilized, which... After 23 years, I can still remember some of it. But
Leo Choquette, the University of Montana, a TA. And then you went to law school.
Then I came home. I worked in sales for a few years.
Mm-hmm.
And I call those the years where I learned what it was like to work for real for a living, meaning I worked unloading trucks. I worked selling flooring, worked with just... average American folks, and you know, it taught me a lot about, you know, what people go through, and it was a good education for me. That might have been the best education of all, really, was working with the average people,
of course,
and knowing what it's like to work a real job.
Today's a city councilor.
Yep.
And you're working a real job as a city councilor and, of course, financial planner as well. You know, Leo, for over 50 years, Bass Ready Rooter has been the trusted name in drain cleaning and septic maintenance all across the city of New Bedford, city of Fall River, Dartmouth, Freetown, all over the region. From emergency clogs to hydro jetting and camera inspections. The expert team at Bass Ready Rooter delivers solutions the right way with honesty and respect. That's why neighbors and plumbers alike recommend Bass Ready Rooter. We may not be your first call, but Bass Ready Rooter will always be your last call. Check them out. Visit their website. Write this down before you need it. BassReady.com. We got some people on hold.
Good. I just want to quickly say Bass Ready Rooter came to my home. And helped me out, and I called them up. They came right down, and the bill wasn't all that high. I was expecting it to be a lot worse because two things in life that you just have to swallow your pride and wallet on: if you needed a lawyer and you needed a plumber,
right?
And Right, you have no choice, but they were good to me. Bass, Ready, Rooter, great folks. I recommend them highly.
Another recommendation for Bass, Ready, Rooter. This one from Republican Leo Choquette, Ward 1 City Council. We got some people on hold, but I do have to take a quick break, and then we'll be right back more with Leo Choquette. Stick around.
Back to Chris McCarthy and South Coast Now on WBSM. Call 508-996-0500.
Welcome back to the program. I'm Chris McCarthy. We have Leo Choquette here in the studio. We got a bunch of people who want to speak with the Ward 1 City Council, the Republican, Leo Choquette. Good morning. Thanks for holding. You're on the air. Call back. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Good morning, Chris McCarthy and your new Republican Councilor Leo, this is your favorite. I hope I'm Leo's favorite Democrat.
He isn't. You are now that he's not one himself anymore.
Yes, I just don't have the cojones to do what he did. Great step for you, Leo. McCarthy, I'm going to have to give you at least some kind of consulting bill for what I'm doing. Having been on this morning with your counterpart, Tim, educating the public on what the value of a zoning board of appeals does, and Dan Romanowitz for the city. I know that Leo, he might have left out in his resume that he was also on the zoning board of appeals, Leo.
Yep, that's correct.
Yes.
Yep. That's some of my best education in municipal government came by being on the zoning board of appeals. I think it's an absolute step for somebody to partake in if they ever want to do local politics.
But I think more excitingly, Leo, you can brag about the fact that John Markey Jr. was a mentor of yours out at the New England School of Law.
Yep. John Markey, one of the best teachers I had at UMass Law School, him and John Quinn. Mayor Markey was my municipal law professor. And I think he would be a great mayor myself. But I'm sure he has stories of growing up, seeing what his dad went through. I'm sure he probably doesn't want that.
Leo, what I don't know, I didn't know, and I think you're going to be a great asset for us going forward with everything that you did with the Parallel Products and your friend Wendy. We'll talk about that at the end. But Chris had invited myself to be on the radio show tomorrow in regards to this recent public input hearing that the city performed, a dog and pony show, or at least I call it Death by PowerPoint. And I didn't know that you had a background in chemistry and environmental.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got around.
I look forward to you calling in tomorrow. Chris, what time are we on?
You're on at 10 o'clock tomorrow.
Okay, because I thought it was 9, but 10 o'clock now?
Let me look. I don't have my calendar in front of me. I'll tell you. I'll text you from my next appointment, Barry.
I greatly appreciate that, and I greatly appreciate Leo to be able to call in. I know that his counterparts that, again, you folks were kept incognito or in the dark on this meeting by the city. So we have a lot to discuss, Chris, and we'll leave it tomorrow, but I'm looking forward to Leo with this added input that he has with his studies. But, you know, especially what he did by taking the bull by the horns with Parallel Products. And Leo, I got to speak to Wendy in her group. What was her name?
Wendy Morrill. Wendy is one of the best activists I've ever met in my life. She's phenomenal.
Yeah. I spoke to her briefly. I don't want to speak for her, obviously. But we talked about, you know, maybe joining her, her constituency base, which is a registered 501c3 organization. Which will be able to corporations will be able to contribute to her. But I think we're now positioned a lot better with these odors. And Chris, you smelt the odors yourself, didn't you?
Yeah. It smells like hell down there.
It smells like hell. It's making people sick. I mean, you smelt it to the point that you said it was god awful and made you sick.
Let's get out of here.
Let's get out of here, right? Can you imagine not being able to get out of here?
It's criminal.
It's criminal. People are getting sick. People are dying of cancer and being treated for cancer.
I know somebody that built a house in that neighborhood with five decks. He can't enjoy any of them.
On certain days, and lucky for us, Chris, we understand how the wind blows. So like on a day like today, the mayor has set up these huge fans. Can you imagine going down there to get exercise and you're breathing in this toxic waste smell?
Leo?
It's crazy. I mean, this is the far south end. This is the other side of the coin of the city of New Bedford. I mean, you guys pay massive amounts of taxes to have beautiful views on your property, and you also have to pay for flood insurance, which is something we don't have to do up in Ward 1, really. So you guys are you know, you pay extra to have what you have and to experience that kind of odor. I mean, obviously, look, the expression, where there's smoke, there's fire. Mm-hmm. So where there's odors, there's pollution. They go hand in hand. So,
Thankfully, Chris is going to put on. We are lucky to be able to have Tony Cabral, our representative, has been in contact with the different health departments. We actually had DEP down there that did a tour. We were told by DEP, and we'll talk a little bit more about this tomorrow, but there was a point where several weeks of last summer, those trucks going in and out, hauling out the solid waste, couldn't even dump them with a company that they had a contract in Rhode Island. So for several weeks, this toxic waste was laying open, and they couldn't even get rid of it. It's just how the mayor didn't, or the city and the city administration didn't let us know about that. It's like you're saying, Chris, it's criminal. So we'll talk more tomorrow. But Leo, you bring something that I would like, you know, Councilor Abreu and Councilor Pereira to bring to light with us tomorrow. I know you were unable to attend, but Leo, you bring a special talent to the table, having had gone through this in parallel products, which again, you know, something that brought a lot of public health issues and to light. And I appreciate that. And I appreciate you too, Chris. Thank you.
Thanks for the call, Barry. Yeah, tomorrow I'll be broadcasting live from Honeydew Donuts up on Acushnet Avenue. I'll be there from 9 a.m. till noon, having a lot of guests tomorrow as well. And Leo, I think to be a well-rounded citywide official, you're a Ward 1 councilor now, but you got to have a command of that treatment center, right? The treatment plant as well?
Yes. Now, that's been an awful blemish on this city for many years. You
brought to you by Democrat Mayor John Bullard.
Yeah, and there has been, you know, the tongue-in-cheek joke over the last several 2 years was that Parallel Products was going to be Mayor Mitchell's, you know, sewage treatment plant, so to speak. You know, we don't want to see that happen for many reasons, but again, you know, you don't want to see legacies left behind where folks are angry.
Is it time for Republican leadership to really take charge in the city of New Bedford?
Well, I think that there's definitely time for change. And like I told you before, a
Republican
strong,
change.
Yeah, Republican.
Though.
And a strong opposing viewpoint will force the other viewpoint to evolve and get better. Competition, there's nothing wrong with competition. As long as it's for the ultimate benefit of the voters and the people. That's what we got to remember.
And thankfully, Hank paid his bet. I'm now $100 richer. We got some people on hold. Stick around. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the program. I'm Chris McCarthy. We have Leo Choquette, Republican, Ward 1 City Council member. We got people on hold who want to speak with Leo. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Good morning.
Hello.
I appreciate the show, and thank you, Leo, for coming on like you normally do, and I appreciate that. I just wanted to call in and say, man, you got... You're a good dude, and I just want to say that. And I think it took a lot of courage to do what you did. I know how these Democrats, especially locally, the Democratic Party, how they can be manipulative, and you know how they treat some individuals if they don't toe the line, if they don't follow every little thing that they try to manipulate you to do. So, the fact that you had the courage and the resolve to do what I think was the right thing, And they must really feel like, you know, not too well today, this morning, because they lost a guy that's been, that has a proven record to get things done. And you do it for the right reason. And I think that's why, as of late, everything you've done it for the right reason, and you always end up on top. And I think it's a good thing, and I hope other people follow suit. I really do. People like Ian Abreu, I think he's well overdue to do, and not just Ian Abreu. There's other people. I mean, the city needs this, because what's going on now, the people they're putting in power or allowing to be the mouthpiece for the local Democratic Party has done nothing but tarnish the Democratic Party. So I'm an independent, so, you know, I still vote for whoever I think is best, but, man, it took a lot of courage, and I support you, my friend. Good job. God bless you.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. Those are kind words. And, you know, I stood as long as I could with the Dems, and I didn't see a future there for me as far as being able to grow. I mean, I could have stood there and just been a background player and tolerated the treatment. You know, having people be putting up against me to run against me, even though I was one of the most, you know, successful ward counselors. So it's all about loyalty to people.
Yes.
It broke my heart that people would be even considering doing that to me. So, I mean, how long do I stay as a piñata?
Leo, we appreciate you coming in. We do. Have a great Christmas, Leo. Folks, listen, I'm out of here. Bear Richard is coming up next. I saw him bright and early this morning. I'm going to leave here, go next door, get all my blood taken out and cleansed and put back into my body. And God willing, I'll be back tomorrow. So I'll be at Honeydew Donuts tomorrow up in the